He'll be in the stands. If there are fans in the stands this year, assuming he's vaccinated, because I get the impression like that'll be the case right. for the majority of the season, he'll be in town. He'll get down to a game.
Yeah, I just, you know what? I think it's cool. I think it's neat. I can hear a small percentage of people going, why don't they just worry about hockey? You know what I mean? I'm not saying that that's not me speaking, the crusty old man. Like, but, you know, if they won, people would be like, hey, you know what, whatever. But it's always like, hey, there's another distraction for this player, another distraction. And they're allowed to do whatever they want in their personal lives. That's the thing.
I might sniff around.
Let's be fair here, though. I don't think the players were driving this. This was corporately driven. The team is driving this collaboration. The team was tweeting it out. The team is working with the Drew. I don't think the players showed up and say, hey, grab your phone and shoot me, you know, putting this shirt on. Like, they were basically told, this is what we're doing today. Can everyone open up the box and pull the shirt out?
Yeah.
And, yeah, from an organizational standpoint, you're right. But I don't think it's the players that decided to do this.
I'll sniff around to see if there's an extra loot bag.
I was just going to say, there's one guy on this panel you know wants a free Drew shirt.
You'll wear one on the air, won't you?
Dude, I look cool in a hoodie. Like, I'm not. It's not like a tight spandex shirt. It's a hoodie.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But the Drew, I don't know if that's in our wheelhouse. You know, but
dude, speak for yourself, man. I don't know. Like,
okay, I am. I'm speaking for myself.
MJ wants a hoodie too, for sure.
MJ, I think could pull it off. But I've never really seen MJ in anything but a suit.
Yeah.
Here he is, our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. Are you feeling this Bieber collaboration? What about the alumni jacket? You guys have the Leaf emblem, and then on the other side, a little Drew face. Would that go over well or what?
Listen, if it's you know, a freebie bag, you're going to try it out. I think it's a good idea. I mean, we obviously know Austin's a good buddy of his, but yeah, I could rock a hoodie with a Drew logo on it. Oh, could kill that, no problem. Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Slide some up to the studio, Leafs, and we'll see what we can do with it.
All
right. Biebs, if you're out there, XL.
XL. Wow.
I like it a lot.
I thought there was another X involved there when you were talking how things worked out this summer where you were a 2X was hanging
on. That's the old days.
Life.
We squeezed out all of that.
Into XL. I love it. Congrats.
That's motivating. Having the Bieber hoodie waiting for you in an XL, that's the move, man. You buy ahead. You buy for the next season knowing where that body type's going to be.
Wow.
Well, yeah, you got to think Biebs, like, he's so small. Like, an XL on his line is probably like a medium on a regular line. So we might have to make some line adjustments when it comes to the actual fitting. You know, like, maybe athletic XL, but he might be Biebs like triple X at this point because, you know, some clothes fit small.
That's
so
true.
You never know.
That's like the old Club Monaco. You ever go into Club
Monaco? Club
Monaco
is a perfect example. Exactly. For size 6 is size like a size 2.
Right.
Yeah.
Like quad XL. I was in hockey shape. Yeah. Like, I can't fit into this sweater.
Dude, but conversely, you go
to Le Chateau and you couldn't get a Le Chateau t-shirt to fit.
No.
Yeah, but conversely, you go to a truck station or a truck stop in Wyoming. I actually bought a shirt from a truck stop in Wyoming, an XL, and I was swimming in it. Like, the American XL is a little bit healthier.
What is the point of that? Like, why can't we all get on the same page? Because I've had the same experience where I'll buy, like, my wife will be in the States, and she'll send me a pic. You want this? I'm like, yeah, grab it for me, and I'll come home, and it's the same thing. It's massive. It's like a triple XL. Like, what is the point of that?
Because not every country sizes their clothes the same. Because it's like the Cheesecake Factory salad. Like, that'd serve an army.
That's very true. It's the portions at the Cheesecake Factory are outrageous.
You buy one, you're set for the week. It's gross.
Outrageous.
It actually is ridiculous how big those portions are. But there are people that sit down and just do work.
Go time. It's a 4-hour event. You know, there's a pregame, the game, the postgame, then the cheesecake's coming out. Cheesecake slices there are 3,500 calories if they're a calorie.
Oh, yeah.
They're massive. And I devour them. I'll walk out of there with 6 of them, you know, just set up shop for the week. I can't wait.
That's the problem.
It is.
You go there, you feel compelled that, like, I got to eat it because it's in front of me. So we like, yeah, it's not terrible food, but it's portion controls are an issue.
It's gluttony, man. When you're mapping out your cheesecake plan for the next 48 hours, you are a sloth, and I've done it many times, and I intend on doing it again soon. Day one of camps, no one on the ice, but for us, the story of the day, which was one that we were expecting and will continue to be consistent throughout the year, was the Morgan Riley contract talk, Johnny, where Kyle Dubas basically said, flat cap, pandemic, not sure what we can do about this. My impression was they're going to do what they did with Hyman last year, play it out, and he'll be a UFA, and we'll see if they can make it work at the end of the season. How did you read those tea leaves?
Yeah, I think so. And it seems as though the response from Morgan Riley was like, well, I'm not going to re-sign for $5 million just because I like it here, just because I'm a good guy and I'm a staple of the community. Nor should he. He's watching guys like Darnell Nurse get nine, and he's like, well, I'm worth eight something at the very least. So it really will come down to how committed is Toronto to the four forwards, because I don't think you could afford Morgan Riley for what he'll get on the open market and keep all four forwards and field a competitive team. So something will have to give there, and I think they play it out. I think if they go well in the playoffs, then maybe they just let him walk at the end of the year. And if it doesn't go well, I don't know. Maybe at some point you have to think about trading him beforehand. Now that's getting away ahead of ourselves, but they are going to roll it back with this group, knowing that this is a fish. Like Freddie left now, so Hyman left, Freddie left. They're chipping away at the kind of periphery core pieces, and the next biggest huge periphery core out of those four forwards is Morgan Riley, and it's likely that this will be his last year in Toronto, because he's going to get more money than they can afford to pay him at the end of the year, regardless of how the year goes for the Leafs.
How would you handle it, Johnny, if you were running the show as far as Riley's concerned? Are you at all costs making the room for him to play here, or what's your take it or leave it with him? Like, just how would your overall dealing with it go down?
Well, it's hindsight now, but I think seeing the contracts flying around, like, I probably would have investigated trading him already, because the return you could have given, you could have gotten for him, maybe replaced him somewhat on the ice and then set yourself up better for the future. Like, I think it's cutthroat, and because they didn't win, it seems like it's a plausible idea. Now, I would be hesitant to do that now, because you want to see how good your team can be with him playing on it and playing well on it. But I think at his age and his defensive deficiencies and maybe the ability of somebody else to pick up some of the stuff he's great at, which is, certainly offensively, I don't think I'd be willing to pay him what somebody else would if I was running the team. And that would suck. Morgan Riley's been a good Toronto Maple Leaf player and employee through some pretty crappy times, and he's kind of been a stand-up guy, and it would be hard to say goodbye to that. But I think if I was running the team, I probably would have to prepare to do it.
Johnny, I've seen on your Twitter and with the NHL Network, you've been doing some projections of contracts. So you just said that, Kaprizov signs. You just mentioned the, Morgan Riley comparables. If all these other guys are getting something with a nine in it, he might be at least an eight. Are you seeing, with some of these contracts being thrown out, we were talking about it before you came on. What do you think Jimmy Benning's thinking right now in Vancouver? Because he's got two pretty big and key pieces.
He's thinking, yipe, yipe, yipe. How am I going to get this done? I mean, he has about 15 or 16 when you get the long-term injury, send some guys down. That's not enough money to sign those two guys to long-term contracts, flat out. Like, they both combined will make $17 million on a long-term deal. And so you're going to have to bridge at least one of them. I think it's probably Pettersson, because his contract will be massive. He's as good as Kaprizov. He's more important than he's a centerman. He deserves 9.5 or more on an 8-year deal. So it's going to be a challenge for him. It's going to be an absolute challenge for him. You see all kinds of defensemen getting, Haskinen got $8 million, Dougie Hamilton, Seth Jones, Darnell Nurse, all guys that Quinn Hughes is a very different player, but he's in that group of players. He's that kind of guy. So he is he knows it's a tough negotiation. He's probably going to have to bridge and bring him in and then pay him through the moon again in 3 years, just because even though they flushed all that dead cap money, they brought in Ekman Larson, they still don't have that much space available to them to get these guys done long term.
Yeah, that is that's going to be panic inducing for sure. And I obviously Ottawa's in a different position with Brady Tkachuk because they're not up against the cap. They're not expected to have this big bounce back. They want to have a big step forward. But the Canucks season was a complete wash away last year, and they wanted to make the playoffs again. Ottawa saying the right things about making improvements and no more rebuild, and we got to really show up and prove that we're players. It's not going to happen this year. I just don't see them having enough talent with the big boys in the Atlantic where they can keep up. But the Tkachuk stuff is hanging over that team as well. And his family's got a long history of it. In fact, they're proud of it. Like, they are proud of being tough negotiators, and they are happy to not show up. I'm not sure how this one gets resolved, but how do you see it playing out?
Did you read Matthew Tkachuk's or hear Matthew Tkachuk's comment?
Oh, yeah.
And he's
talking
like, we're in his corner. My dad's in his corner. This is what we do. And, like, I applaud them for that. Like, I've read some stuff. Like, he's not a good team guy. Like, what are you talking about? He's absolutely a great team guy, and he's making sure he gets as much money as he can. Like, I don't think Brady Tkachuk's offensive ceiling is super high. Like, I don't think he's ever going to score 40. I don't know if he's going to get 80 points. He's going to probably get like 30 and 35 assists. It's kind of, you know, where he will up a range of where he ends off. But his numbers are very similar to Svechnikov. Svechnikov just on an 8-year deal for 7.75. And intangibles, physical play, leadership, and a desire to be in Ottawa long term does matter. So, I mean, I think if he's going 8 years, he's getting more than Svechnikov, even though I think Svechnikov's a more talented offensive winger. All those other things are unique to Ottawa, and the fact that he is willing to stay there for 8 more years matters. So I think he's in the eights. Noodles, you talked about my projections. I had 8 years at 8.4, like, I think, which is a massive number for a guy who hasn't put up huge offensive totals, but you factor in all those other intangibles, and that bumps him from a $7.5 million player to an $8.5 million player, because Ottawa is that unique. And the one thing we talk about caps all the time, they got to get to the floor. Like, I think they need to get him on a big ticket to get to the floor to make sure they're cap compliant the other way. So he knows that. He knows how important. He knows he's getting the captaincy the day he signs the contract, and he's going to hold that over the team to make sure that he gets everything that he can. And shouldn't, I'm not surprised. I don't blame him, and he'll be a great captain once he signs it. But I think it's going to get in the eighth before it's all said and done.
I agree. I just think it's a scenario where it's a perfect storm, you know, for him, because I agree 100% as far as projections. I said yesterday about him, I think he's a 30-goal scorer in the league, just the way he plays and the way he gets to the net. I don't see him as a 40-goal guy, but he's such an impactful player. He puts a stamp on the game every night, whether it's physical, whether it's agitating, and he can back it up with scoring. And you know, with that market, with that organization, and you also have to look at the recent history. And I know Pierre Dorion's done the rebuild. So, you know, you move Mark Stone, you move Erik Karlsson. But the fan base needs something to gravitate to. Like, this kid wants to stay there, too. Wants to be a part of the solution. Wants to be a part of it. You know, that does factor in. I don't know how much that factors in financially, but we say it all the time in certain markets. You might have to sprinkle it on a little bit more just based on where you are in your rebuild and your progression. And I think Brady is, you know, they've got to figure it out there because he's a fantastic player.
Well, without going too far down the contract road, I think the dollars are almost agreed upon. I think it's more structured. They don't like giving out big bonuses. They don't like giving, you know, $14 million in bonus and $1 million in salary to front load a contract. That's not how they want to do business. I don't think they want to spend cash that way, that organization. So I think that's the bigger conversation, not just what the AAV will be, but just how do we get the dollars into Brady's pocket.
Well, they got some time to figure that out. We're chatting with Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, and the Duncan Keith stuff is sticking out there, and he's going to be vaccinated. He's going to show up. He's going to be there, but it sounds like it came down to the wire.
And well, it doesn't sound like it is. It did, because
it did come down
yet.
The wire. And it did with Willie as well. Like, Nylander is not fully vaxxed. He said he will be completely vaxxed and all good by the start of the season.
But Willie said he had some medical stuff going on that maybe impacted his ability to get vaccinated in a timely manner. Sure. I don't know what that means, but that, but like, right. It seems like Duncan was just like, I don't want to take it, but I'm going to play, so I got to take it now. Because if you play in Canada, you really can't play in the NHL this year unless you're vaccinated. Because you can't go to the States ever to play. And you can't fly around Canada to go play. So you're going to be what? If you play in Toronto and you're unvaccinated, you can what, drive to Ottawa, Montreal, play home games. And that's it. Yeah. You don't get to play anywhere else. And you don't get paid for any of those days you don't go play somewhere. So whether it's Tyler Bertuzzi, whether it's Duncan Keith, like, it is an interesting part of the story. Now, there may be only 10 or 12 guys that are unvaccinated, which is kudos to the league. That's great, that amount of compliance. But for Duncan Keith, and vaccinations are very personal, like, I'm very staunchly supporting it. I'm not going to say you have to take it, but you brought him in there for leadership, for like the presence in the room. And like, if he was going to take it to begin with, why wouldn't you have taken it 2 weeks ago? Like, what? Like,
yeah, training like camp super, has to sneak up on you.
The super veteran play to skip training camp because you're getting in the vaccination 2 week period. But like, it seems like not a great first step. If you're going to take it anyways, why not take it 2 weeks ago?
Johnny, there was a signing out of Buffalo, and I just get that it's Dahlin, their defenseman, the former number one overall pick. And I get the sense it was like a draft status signing. I haven't really been that impressed with him. I don't know who has been. And it seems like if he was a fourth round pick, it would have been a 2-year extension, some kind of bridge deal at $1.9 million. But because it's this first overall supposedly super kid, it's got to be 3 years at six. I found that deal to be outrageous. What did you think of it?
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of truth to that, but I think you look at some of the comparables and like Sergachev on the extension he signed was
Dude,
a bridge deal.
He is
deal
not
about
even
five.
Close to Sergachev. He's not even
no,
close
but,
to.
Oh, you got to go back to Sergachev when he signed the contract, not Sergachev of the last year. When he didn't have a ton of points, and he also played on a way better team. Like, how do you evaluate what you're doing in Buffalo when Buffalo is so trash the last couple of years?
And furthermore, how are you going to evaluate Dahlin going into the 3 years of this deal, making six, because they're going to be even
worse? Yeah, they're
going to
be
worse. Scary. And if you talk to the people in Buffalo, I just talked to Marty Biron, and some of what Buffalo's clinging to is that the second half of the year, under the new coach, they thought he got way better and not, you know, put up some points, not enough, but put up some points, but also got much cleaner in his own end. So you're not wrong. Status and what they project him to be able to do is very much related to his, you know, being first overall. But I do think, you know, they do lump him in to that kind of good young defenseman that maybe haven't quite hit it. And the other part of it, we talked about situation. We just talked about Brady Tkachuk. Like, Brady's not an $8.5 million player. He may get that. But part of it's because of the organization, what they need, and where they're at. Like, Buffalo was turning the page on Eichel and Ristolainen and Reinhardt. Like, they're trying to build around guys who want to be there. This Dahlin apparently is one of those guys who wants to be there. So that matters right now because they don't want to have more player relations difficulty within the organization or to the fans about the actual kids that they're trying to build with.
Yeah, it's a good point because you got to keep players. Like, if guys keep flying out the door, like, you know, this is your high pick. You're already having your Eichel issues right now. If Dahlin goes, you know what, I want a 1-year deal because I want to get the hell out of here. Like, you're in survival mode right now for some of these young guys to stay, realistically.
And this keeps them as an RFA, I believe, when the deal is up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's what's really important.
Although, you'll appreciate this. I read it correctly. I think his third year salary is 7.2. Okay. So his qualifier is 7.2
well,
on the fourth year.
He better hit. He went first overall. Like, if any organization is going to have faith in him or better have faith in him, it's this team. I know it's a completely different, executive team and totally
but
different coaching
that team,
staff.
Guys, that team is going to be bad.
Brutal.
Like, real bad. Like, they were terrible last year, but the year they tried to get Connor and they tried to get off, like, they were awful then. Like, they're noodles. You've seen their goaltending in Buffalo. Are they going to get 60 points? Like, it's going to be tough.
Well, you got Craig Anderson and Aaron Dell. Like, I was,
right.
Oh, I love Andy from Ottawa. I don't even know what that noise was. That'll be a sound clip for you.
Western New York responding the same way he responded when you listed off the depth charts.
But just to back it up, are you being serious with that?
Yeah, Craig Anderson and Aaron Dell are is the tandem
Craig Anderson is
He's 45 years old.
He's 40. Yeah, I think he's coming 40, 39. But you're right. Wow. But Andy played, what, a handful of games with
three games?
Yeah.
Three? Four?
Yeah, all last season.
Actually, remember the first one he gave him a pretty good game? It was because they were down to their third stringer. Yeah, he played pretty well.
Yeah.
What is his expression on his face when he played three games last year and he gets a phone call and on the other end it says, "We're thinking about you as our starter this year."
It's Jake Taylor.
It is. Lou Brown called. Jake Taylor hungover with ice on his knees.
It's no way he believes it's true.
No, he's like, "I'll call you back."
He hangs up. It was pranking me.
Yeah, and now he's there and he's the guy. And listen, that team's going to be terrible. Like, them and Arizona are going to be horrendous.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
We'll filter everything else out as it plays out. So we'll see. I mean, camps are open. We're on the ice tomorrow. It's a fun time of year. Always great catching up with you, Johnny. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, boys. Have a good day.
Yeah. There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. Yeah, Craig Anderson is Jake Taylor in Mexico somewhere with a sombrero over his face.
Literally said, "I got to think about it and call you back."
Yeah.
I want to say that Craig Anderson is chasing something, too. As far as games played or wins or something like that, it might be.
Well, it better not be wins. Because I don't think he'll
be struggling to get it. Yeah,
unless
what does he need? One more?
He's one win away, and they guaranteed him 30 starts.
And he's still sniffing for it in March.
Yeah, and I'm not privy to that. He's chasing 300 wins, and he's at 291.
Ooh,
so he needs 9.
I don't like the chances.
We got to put him in a Jerry's percentage one Wednesday.
I think he gets the 300. The
you
nine
do.
Wins.
Who's the other guy? Aaron Dell?
Aaron Dell. He was the backup
in San Jose for a while.
San Jose, and then was in, the Leafs signed him. He was here with the Leafs.
He was. Well, right? I don't think he ever played for the Leafs, but.
No, they lost. Marlins. I think they lost him on waivers to New Jersey last year.
Yeah, you might be right about that. But I would think you go with the youth, and Dell gets the majority of the starts.
Well,
the thing is,
he's not youth. I think Dell's 32 years old.
Wow.
He's not a 22-year-old. I think Aaron Dell is a. I've got to.
But Anderson's what, 40 now? Is he 40 or he's close?
He's 40 years old. He turned in May, so
he's chasing 9 wins.
Aaron Dell is 32 years old. Yeah,
okay.
And he's one of the. I was going through this whole process the other day. He's one of the smaller goalies, Aaron Dell, in the league. Like he's 5'11", 6 feet. Because there's a kid in Calgary who's like a 5'11", or UC Saros is 5'11", 5'10", 5'11". There's not as many small goalies in the league, but Aaron Dell's one of them.
All I can think of is Frozen when I hear Aaron Dell, because...
Oh, yeah, Aaron Dell.
That's where they're from. Every time I hear you say his full name, I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
I know where this is going. all right, well, listen, shout out to Craig Anderson.
We love him.
He's our
guy.
And I'd love to see him get 9 wins. But that could come down to the final weekend. And he stands on his head for like 55 stops. Wouldn't that be amazing? Here's a question. Would they play him? If they're tanking and they're right there with Arizona for dead last in the league and he's at 299 and
absolutely not. Tonya Harding him in morning skate.
I think they'd say, "Sorry, man, you're on 299. Like, we can't have you standing on your head tonight."
No.
In winning a game, it can't happen.
Tonya
so he better
Harding.
Do it quick. Yeah, he's got to get 9 wins by like the deadline, or else he's in. Because if he gets hot, that's another thing. He's got to be strategic. He gets hot, he's not going to play anymore.